I'm Lauren.
And I'm John.
And we host the Beard Owl Podcast, the podcast where we talk about two of the greatest things in the world, beer and Weird Al.
And a bunch of other stuff.
Do you like beer? Do you like Weird Al? Are you human?
If you answered yes to any of those questions, give us a listen.
The Beard Owl Podcast.
Welcome to Too Much Strong for May 3rd, 2022. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Essenflow there, Steve. Welcome to Chicago.
Just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Yes, Chip, Chicago has a fun accent. We almost won. We almost won that damn podcast on our fun accents. But no, the Scottish guys won and we're out of the bracket. Darn it.
We'll try better next year, Steve. We'll try better next year.
We'll practice. We'll go with more accents next year.
We need more pierogies, Steve. More pierogies.
We have a Polish holiday this week. Is that what you're intimating?
That's right, Steve. I just want to let you know that we celebrate a number of holidays, and Cinco de Mayo is coming up. But you know, before that, we got the Polish Constitution Day, Steve, May 3rd.
More Polish speakers in Chicago than anywhere else on the planet. I think more than Warsaw now. I think that we have overtaken that.
There's number so- one. Number one.
Down, get my film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Hey, Chip, did you make it to a movie theater this week?
I did make it to a movie theater this week, Steve.
Wow.
In fact, I went to a theater and it was virtually sold out. I mean, truly, the only seats that were available were, I don't know, those beginning seats, those first and second row seats where you look straight up at the screen.
Wow.
This was, oh, yes. I had to go to the Regal Theater, Steve, in Gainesville, Florida, to see The Northman.
I have been hearing a lot about this film this week. There's a lot of great reviews. I look forward to hearing what you thought of this one.
There was howling, Steve. There was howling. In fact, all that, those books on Joseph Campbell that you've been reading, mm-hmm. and you've been sucking down, absolutely, they play into this because this is, it's a Viking adventure, Steve, a true Viking adventure. And this is going to, we're going to redeem the father. We've got crows flying in there because, you know, Odin has two crows. We've got a scene where Ethan Hawke takes his son and they go into a cave and they see, you know, William Dafoe, who has certainly got he is masters. If Liam Neeson has mastered, a certain set of skills.
Yeah.
Okay, William Dafoe has mastered being the crazy man. He was the shaman, and it was so awesome. It was so awesome watching William Dafoe as a shaman. But anyway, this is a brutal, brutal film that shows that it's very cold in Iceland and very cold being a Viking. There was a fight scene, Steve, that was straight out of Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Where Obi-Wan and Anakin are fighting and one had the high ground. Very, very similar with an ending that I won't give away. But let's just say that this was not a great film. Although,
really? After all that, I really expected you to say that you enjoyed this a lot based on the sound of your voice up until this moment.
Well, Kyle thinks this was could be a movie of the year type level.
He said that it was his favorite movie of the year, but that's not saying much for the first week of May.
Well, I get that. And we get all those movies that will be released, all those great movies we'll talk about shortly. But I would say this is, I don't know, 55, 60 out of 100. It's certainly this genre of Vikings. Is certainly women just somehow gravitate to it. And I think it's because, you know, you have to be a man to go out and fight like this. And it's dirty and, you know, you just take what you want and stuff like that. There's something about that that's very primal. But when you really get down to the heart of it, you're so glad you don't live in this age. This age, you were meat to go fight.
Yeah. The brutality of the era, the brutality of not only this era, but also the Outlander stories. There's a lot of strength to that filthy era of fighting for possession and land. But boy, yeah, I'm glad that I don't live in these times.
Every chapter has its own sort of Viking script name to it. There's subtitles going on. There's the shaman and the hierarchy and you know, taking your boat across sea and going to the fight and all this other stuff. I think that really resonates with a lot of people. And when I said that the theater was full, that's a great example mm-hmm. of why the theater was full. And I want to say I went to the 1 o'clock on Sunday showing. Hmm. So, you know, certainly the after church crowd, the Sunday afternoon crowd, it was a beautiful day out there. So they could have been doing anything, but a lot of people got together and wanted to watch this film.
Interesting. I look forward to seeing this one eventually when it gets to the digital release and talking about it more, because like you said, Kyle reviewed this highly and I've heard a lot of great reviews. You've also gone back in time a little bit and seen a movie called War Dogs from 2016. We talked about this one. Yes, when it came out 7 years ago, Chip.
I know, 7 years ago. I paid for this so I could watch it. And I did because I ran across the trailer again. And I said, oh, this looks like a really interesting story. And this is loosely based on a true story where two young men, let's say in their mid-20s, for my example, basically won a military contract and were supplying ammunition and any type of war material to the United States in Afghanistan. They won the bid and they supplied it. Hmm. And sort of how that happened, and it was a backlash in a way, because it was exposed to Dick Cheney, who was President Bush's vice president. His connections were winning all of the bids to supply the American military. The response to that was to open it up to the public. And what they decided to do, instead of going after the big things, they were going after all the small things, all the stuff that was too small to kind of fit into what, you know, a company may be willing to do. And they were winning those contracts. They ultimately got a big contract. And this is their story about how that worked out and how they got caught. Certainly an interesting story. This isn't a great film, 50 out of 100. But the fascinating part is how this all played out, why it played out, and then ultimately how they got caught. And they got caught because the partner that found these loopholes became greedy.
Hmm.
He became greedy in a different way, in the sense of where if he just would have paid this person off, like paid for the service,
mm-hmm.
this would never would have come out. I'm mm. sorry. It may not have come out at that time. So how
is
sad
this
that
comedy?
Is.
Comedy?
It is.
Okay.
It is. Because there's a farce to it, because, you know, really they're just kids, right? And they somehow are winning these contracts. But this is really interesting about how the government works, how government contracts works, and where it really comes into play is if you watch back in 2007 or read the book about Charlie Wilson, about a Texas congressman who basically just put together this incredibly deep black budget. Black budget means off budget. Hmm. I mean, we're talking billions of dollars that were just, you know, not accounted for, because these were all secret projects. And he just kept getting them bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And pretty soon it became what that story was about. Charlie Wilson's War, sorry, Tom Hanks, worthy of your time to watch that. And certainly another example of how, you know, trying to do the right thing, maybe, or working on small dollars or whatever. When I say relative small dollars, mm-hmm. eventually it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Steve, I wasn't the only one who got to see movies this week. You got to see a movie too. Tell me about it.
Yes, I was embedded in the military conversation of my own, watching a very bad 1973 movie called Beyond Atlantis. But the good news is that I got to see it with my friends watching Mystery Science Theater 3000, episode 3 of season 13 on their new app, the Gizmoplex. And a whole new set of friends I got to have over for this movie. Emily Connor is the new host of Mystery Science Theater 3000, played by Emily Marsh. This is her first recorded riff. She spent the winter of 2021 touring with the Bots and Megacynthia, and now she is officially a Mystery Science Theater 3000 host.
When you say a host, is she taking the place of Joel?
She is taking the place of Joel and Mike and Jonah, and she is the human now trapped in the simulator of love instead of the satellite of love, and she is being forced to watch bad movies with her robots. She's got Crow and Tom Servo. We've still got Connor McGiffin puppeteering Tom Servo in this new iteration of Mystery Science Theater, but we have a new puppeteer for Crow that is Kelsey Ann Brady, giving her first view, her first voice to our favorite golden antlered robot in this episode.
And that's part of the goal of Mystery Science Theater, is that comedy writers can come in and performers can come in and they all just take a part. And the structure of it remains the same, mm-hmm. but the different writers and performers get to take their, you know, kind of take on these characters.
That was Joel's original idea behind the show, was he wanted to make Saturday Night Live in a riffing on old bad movies. He wanted to have a whole fleet of actors portraying these characters. The characters stay the same. Crow is still Crow. Tom Servo is still Tom Servo. But the human that gets to interact with those robots changes. We also get the new version of GPC, which only comes in at the end of this episode. But I look forward to what Emily and Kelsey Ann Brady and Connor McGiffin are going to be able to do with these parts going forward into season 13.
All right. And you got to see the movie Beyond Atlantis from 1973. This already sounds like a great film.
Let me tell you the premise. There are fish people.
Well, you got me with fish people, Steve.
And basically, they're just people, and their eyes are really big. And so there's a lot of jokes about Marty Feldman in the riff for Beyond Atlantis. Some great humor about if Matt Groening was to design an action adventure movie, this would be it. 1973, very sweaty, very dirty. Sid Haig is the bad guy in this movie. He unfortunately passed away in 2019, but it's good to see him on screen with this complicated buried treasure adventure.
All right.
Maybe there's some better movies coming out this week, Chip.
You never know. Khan.
That's all you know about Benedict Cumberbatch is he played Khan once. There's a new movie, a big movie, a big movie coming out this week. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. We've been waiting for this one for years. It is directed by Sam Raimi. I have very high expectations for this film.
This is, you know, the big blockbuster, mm-hmm. right? Spider-Man, the movie that came out just a month ago, is going to feed right into this. And all of a sudden, the multiverse becomes part of the MCU.
not just Spider-Man, not just that part of the multiverse, but so many other pieces. There are going to be so many cameos and so many pieces of knowledge that you need to know from all of the other Marvel films to play into this. I have not watched the trailer, so don't spoil it for me, but I know how many different faces and voices and sounds are going to come into this. We've got Wanda from WandaVision after all of the adventure that she had on Disney Plus coming into this, along with all of the characters from Doctor Strange. We might even see a certain older gentleman in a wheelchair who shows up in this one.
Interesting. Anyway, this should be big time, and this will be one of those big sellouts for Friday when, you know, people go to the movie theater.
Yes, I think people will go to the movie theater for this one. I think that this is a big moment. This is our blockbuster. It's not the summer yet. This is not our summer blockbuster, but it's going to be huge. There's other movies coming out, though, too, Chip. The other people make movies, too. A lot of these say 2021 on them. There's a whole list of movies that are still backlogged from years of not going to the movie theaters. The first one is called Happening. This is a French film looking back at the 1960s in France.
When abortion was illegal, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the past and the present just somehow
colliding in 2022. The second one is called The Twin. This is a mother...
This is our Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
That's twins. That's... This is not that. This is a horror film about a mother who needs to confront the unbearable truth about her surviving twin son. He's the evil one. Got it. There's a movie called Glimpse. This is definitely a movie born out of COVID. Very low budget, very in your own home, doing your own recording film about surveillance and questioning about our surveillance culture.
They spent hundreds of dollars on this, Steve.
Tens of dollars. Glimpse. Then we get into the animated films. You have found a list of animated films.
A lot of animated films, all of them the same week. Why not send them out the same week?
The first one is an animated version of Around the World in 80 Days. I think that this one is born out of somebody misreading something, because there's a character in this animated film for children called Phineas Frog, which the original character in Around the World in 80 Days is Phineas Fogg. I think somebody misread something and said, that's a movie. Book it.
Well, they're animals, Steve. They're animals all the way from Australia.
The Earth in 80 Days. I don't look forward to that one. There is a new version of Marmaduke, everybody's favorite giant Great Dane running around and causing havoc. This one's coming to Netflix.
Is it everybody's favorite? Grape Dame, why is this intellectual property still the comic strip stopped in 2015
and
they decided to make an animated film about it. Why not just name it something else and not pay for the IP?
Just a big dog the movie.
Why not?
Marmaduke's got maybe, there's some heft to the title Marmaduke.
Maybe name it a Big Red Dog or something. That's Clifford.
That's a different Big Red Dog. This is just a Great Dane who causes havoc, doesn't solve mysteries. That's a totally different dog.
Steve, what about for the really, really, really young children?
Yes, this one definitely is a direct-to-video sort of movie called The Little Sorcerer. A group of friends set out on a magical quest to find a stone to turn their mouse back into a prince. This is definitely for the six-year-olds.
Renamed twice. It was started out Cinderella and the Little Sorcerer, and then Ella and the Little Sorcerer, but they just decided to go with Little Sorcerer. Somehow they must have done some different types of customer feedback, and they decided just to name it this. This looks like it's really, really for young children.
Yes, absolutely. This is definitely for the six-year-olds. Anybody beyond 7 or 8 years old is going to find this one boring. I think Doctor Strange might be the winner for the week. What do you think?
Oh, I think so too.
Book it. Brings us to our book of the week. You know, Chip, I read a lot of books and I have a lot of very specific things that I enjoy in my life. And I picked up a book this week that you are just going to enjoy with me because you have to, because you didn't choose a book. The book this week is called The Weird Accordion to Al. This is Nathan Rabin giving us a very obsessively analyzed look at the oeuvre of Weird Al Yankovic.
Every Weird Al Yankovic album obsessively analyzed. Mm-hmm. My goodness, this is taking, well, you know, at one time people were like, please don't do my songs, and then eventually they're like, please do my songs unless your name is Coolio, and then he's like, don't do my songs. So tell me a little about I guess what you know about Weird Al, which is a lot, and then sort of with this book, how this kind of plays out as far as reviewing the albums.
Nathan Rabin is a friend of the show, and he is a former head writer of the AV Club. You might know the AV Club as part of the Onion presentation of news. The AV Club sent out reporters all over the world to review different pieces of pop culture, music, books, and movies. Nathan Rabin, one of the head writers, is very much a guy that I would like to go and enjoy pop culture with, let's put it that way. He has had so many fun interactions with Weird Al. He wrote The Weird Al, the book, in 2012, a book that he actually got a phone call from Weird Al saying, hey, I would like to write a coffee table book and I want you to be the author of it. That's pretty amazing. He went on then to write this, The Weird Accordion to Al, and Al Yankovic actually is the editor, the copy editor for this book.
Less is fewer, Steve. Less is fewer.
Yes, because Weird Al is obsessive about grammar. That is something that we know about Weird Al. His choices of grammar are specific. Do you know the less is fewer thing?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
So to explain for our listeners, there was a moment in Weird Al's career where he was in a grocery store and it said 10 items or less at the checkout counter. And he just couldn't put up with that anymore. He made a word fewer and actually placed it on the placard on that register so that people would know that it was 10 items or fewer in that aisle. The idea of Weird Al being...
He's a cunning linguist.
Yes. Do you know that joke? Are you just Googling Weird Al grammar jokes right now?
I know, because through you and through, you know, just Weird Al being part of pop culture, I know a lot more about Weird Al than probably the average person.
Okay, so are you just looking at the lyrics to Word Crimes? Because both of those jokes are in the song Word Crimes, a whole song based on grammar and punctuation. This is my favorite conversation.
And he's an editor of this book, which is so amazing, just in that.
Yes. Nathan is a brilliant writer, and he is so good at distributing his writing. He has been publishing articles on his website, Nathan Rabin's Happy Place, regularly. Then he takes those and publishes hard copies that he sells online and in bookstores. This is an example of something that he wrote over the course of, you know, maybe a year or more, and then published it. And it's a great analysis of all of Weird Al's oeuvre.
So Weird Al's first album, what was it? How does Dr. Demento fit into that? Do you remember?
Dr. Demento is a huge part of letting the world know about Weird Al. Weird Al, as a teenager, sent in funny little songs to Dr. Demento. Dr. Demento played them on his radio show and sent Al, you know, little notes thanking him for his funny little songs. And eventually, the two of them found out that maybe Weird Al had something special, something different from other novelty acts. And Dr. Demento and Weird Al created this friendship, this real bond between them. And as Weird Al put out his first album, the self-titled Weird Al Yankovic, he really started showing up in the pop charts. It wasn't really until his third album, In 3D, that the rest of the world caught on. Those of us who weren't listening to Dr. Demento in those early days didn't really know about Weird Al until In 3D. That's the album that really put Al on the charts. That's the album that has Eat It. He became the Eat It guy with In 3D.
And for our young listeners who have no idea why that would be important, Eat It was based off of Beat It, which was Michael Jackson, who at that point was the largest pop singer.
The king of
since pop. Elvis.
Yeah, the king of pop for sure. And for Michael Jackson.
Self-titled king of pop, just so you know.
Oh, he was accurate though. That to have that backing of Michael Jackson, for Michael Jackson to recognize the spirit of joy that Weird Al was bringing to his music, to allow Weird Al not only to use his music, but to actually use his actual set for the music video for Fat, which is the sequel.
Really?
Beat It.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes, sir. And that relationship where the musician recognizes the value of this parody, that really set Weird Al on this path to being probably my favorite musician. Of all of the people that I admire the heck out of Weird Al and his career over the last 40 years.
Well, they put a lot of money into that video too.
Mm-hmm.
For Eat It.
For Eat It and for Fat. There's a lot of money that is behind the production. Remember, this was the age of music videos. In 1984, MTV was a big part of the music industry. And having sure. that video, those little movies that they made for some of those songs became very important.
So tell me some more of these stories that you figured out as Weird Al put out these albums. You know, certainly he had, you know, songs that were resonating more with other people, with an audience. Tell me another story about this.
My favorite thing that I learned from this book is how Weird Al puts together some of his pastiches, those songs that are not direct parodies of a song. You know, the general public might know Eat It is a parody of Beat It. And they might know, you know, the very specific song that Weird Al is parodying. I think I'm a clone now, being the parody of Tiffany, I Think We're Alone Now, which of course was a remake of a Beatles song, but that's okay.
Not the Beatles. No. Not the Beatles. Tommy James and the Shondells.
Gotcha.
The Shondells, the number of songs that Tommy James and the Shondells put out that you go, oh yeah, I know that song, is incredible.
It's fun to think about the history of music through the lens of Weird Al's parody of all of these songs. I find the pastiches to be amazing. To hear in this book, Nathan Rabin telling me why the song, my favorite Weird Al song, why I like it so much is because it is a pastiche of Cake, one of my favorite other bands other than Weird Al. And it's called Close But No Cigar. And to think about the musicality that it takes to make not a parody, but a general feeling of a band, those pastiches, that is a wonderful moment.
Well, I look forward to listening to this song. I have never heard that. I know Cake, So what can I say? Any other things that you'd like to say about this book? Because I know that Kurt Cobain, I mean, he said he knew Nirvana had made it. I mean, mm-hmm. they had already made it when Weird Al did a parody of their songs, or asked to do a parody of one of their songs.
That was the moment for a lot of people where everybody recognized Weird Al as being the pop culture blender that he is, taking everything about pop culture and making it shape and size into a simple to consume piece. And Kurt Cobain, his only thing that he said to Weird Al was, please don't make the song about food. I hate all of your food songs. It makes me sick thinking about food. Please make the song about something else. And Al said, yeah, don't worry. It's about how you mumble. That's the point of the song that I'm making, is how you mumble your songs. And Kurt Cobain said, awesome.
And did this address Amish Paradise, which Coolio was not appreciative of?
The story of that is longer than that snippet. The story is he did get permission from Coolio's record label to do the parody of the song. Weird Al always gets permission from all of the artists to do his parody. He doesn't have to. By constitutionality, he can parody any song he wants, but he always gets permission. He got permission from Coolio's people, but Coolio's people did not apparently turn to Coolio and actually get permission. So Coolio was hurt by the idea of Amish Paradise, because Gangsta's Paradise was a real important emotional song for Coolio. And so he eventually came around to it's okay, because boy, is Amish Paradise a great song.
It is.
Nathan Rabin is continuing to write. His next book is called The Fractured Mirror. Nathan Rabin's Happy Place's Definitive Guide to American Movies About the Film Industry. He just successfully launched a Kickstarter campaign this week, and that will be hitting bookstores soon. I look forward to Nathan Rabin's next analysis of pop culture. So I think that it's really wonderful that we have people like Nathan Rabin out there analyzing pop culture the way that he does. I look forward to following his work in the future.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. We start with sad news on the scroll with it this week, Chip. Neil Adams has passed away.
And that is the sad part, is that so many people, I mean, as we continue to do this program, we're going to see more and more people from our youth are going to start passing away. And Neil Adams, for those who are not aware of this gentleman, the Batman that I knew as a child. So after the Batman television show, they brought him back to be this dark character, a detective in the night. That was Neil Adams. Mm. And he's probably the most well-known Batman until we get to Bruce Timm's Batman with the animated series.
It's sad to think of all of those people that are getting older, that are we're going to lose that talent. The talent that Neil Adams brought in drawing those characters was stunning.
Well, he was very clear that in order to be a great cartoonist, you could not lose the cartoony part of it. Hmm. So that if you're telling a story, having those exaggerated features and things of that nature made your visual storytelling best. So he was a comic book artist, but he was also a commercial artist. So if you're not aware of this, you have seen his work on billboards and advertisements. And I see him everywhere. And it's so distinctive, his line work. I can tell what it is just by going through a magazine at the time we used to get magazines.
And it was so nice to get to speak to him in 2019, to have that moment where you were able to express to him how important he was to you with your study of design and drawing in your youth.
Oh yeah. Neil was certainly, he was what we all aspire to be.
Awesome. His work will live on. That's the best.
And we've got his son, and his son does character designs and things of that nature too. And we talked to his son. His son was awesome.
Yep. Joel Adams, who is the guy who designed the characters for King of the Hill. And we had a great conversation with Joel. So that's a great way. The next generation will carry on some of those skills.
Will Bobby be back, Steve? Will Bobby be back?
The boy ain't right. Yeah, there's a King of the Hill. King of the Hill is coming back. So they are working on that right now. So hopefully we'll see some more wonderful work from the Addams family. No, that's a different story. Opening this week on Friday, May the 6th, the Gizmoplex, the Mystery Science Theater 3000 app, is officially having its grand opening. All of you people that haven't been a part of the Gizmoplex soft opening for the last month will finally get a chance to be a part of all of the joy that is Mystery Science Theater, all in one place, kind of like our own little private theater on the moon. You'll be able to register an account, browse through, rent and buy episodes, and see all of the new episodes for season 13 that are coming out. The first three episodes will be available on Friday to the general public. I am super excited for everybody to go to gizmoplex.com and be a part of that community. Weird Al is touring this week, so there's another community of people that I will be paying a lot of attention to. His 2022 concert tour is hitting a roundabout way, crisscrossing the country, two countries, Canada and the United States. The unfortunate return of the ridiculously self-indulgent, ill-advised vanity tour is coming to your town in the next few months.
We'll have to call Pam, Steve.
It just happens that they are stopping in Pam's town, New London, Connecticut, tomorrow night, May the 4th. They'll be here in Chicago in July and in Wilmington, North Carolina in August.
And they're going to be in Raleigh, too, and Charlotte. I mean, Steve, that means I could see them multiple times if I chose to.
If you get in the Volkswagen minibus and go follow Weird Al across the country, yes. When I am a millionaire, that's what I will do.
Wilmington has opened up a new sort of concert facility downtown, and I'm assuming that's where he's going to be playing. That should be a nice place to see it. Wilmington is on the coast, Steve, just so you know. It's nice. On the beach, near the beach, my friend.
Maybe I'll make
anyway, this should be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, this is a huge year for concerts. There's so many concerts out there, and part of it's because the artists have wanted to get out there. Certainly COVID has played a part in that. And that's the problem, is that there are so many concerts to go to.
And the audiences have been clamoring for getting out. I was very impressed with how many people I've seen finding a way to get out and be a part of the community. I look forward to the future where we will have even less COVID to worry about.
Sure, sure.
It's a busy week. We've got Star Wars Day, May the 4th, tomorrow. Happy May the 4th to all of those who celebrate. May the 5th is Cinco de Mayo, and May the 7th is Free Comic Book Day.
And then May 8th is Mother's Day, so you should make the order now. Now would be a good time to make that order.
Make
it easy on yourself.
Get those flowers, get those chocolates. Honor your mother on Sunday. Get it done after you're done with Star Wars Day and Cinco de Mayo and Free Comic Book Day. It's a busy week, man.
It's a busy week. And just remember, Mr. T says, be good to your mother.
A pity the fool. We got to Mr. T. How far did we have to go to get to Mr. T?
Do you remember the video, Be Good to Your Mother by Mr. T?
Yes.
Yes. Good there stuff. You go, Steve.
There you go. There's your... There's your
as our young people go, who is Mr. T?
I know Mr. Coffee. Mr. Coffee sits on the counter, but Mr. T is different. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. I look forward to hearing from you. How is everything going for you? Are you going to concerts? Are you getting flowers for your mother? Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on Apple Podcasts and YouTube. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflow.
See you in the future. So we don't talk about what I want.
want to talk about is what I want to thank you for, what I want.